All right, thank you, Clay and the choir, orchestra, and Miriam. And I'm Adrian Rogers, standing in for Philip May today. Just came back down from heaven to say hello. Tell you, my staff is getting just about as bad as our government workers and our church and our teachers and our students. They'll take Friday through Monday as these holidays. Not in their contract, we will dock their pay. Yeah. Today I want to talk to you about a controversial subject. Keeping sane in a COVID crazy world. And this message ought to make some of you mad, sad, or glad. I hope so. So take your Bible, if you will, now, and turn to Acts chapter 27, verse 9 through 11. You'll recognize this is when Paul was on the way to Rome. He's a prisoner upon a ship, and he is going to go before the ruler of the Roman world. So we're just going to look at some excerpts, then we'll see some more of this story as we go through the message. Go down to verse 9 in chapter 27. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because now it was after the Day of the Atonement. And he says here, so Paul warned them, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and to our own lives also. Now go with me down to verse 18. Verse 18, chapter 27, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw cargo overboard. And on the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And with neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the Lord of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Wrote this message on February the 3rd. Pastor from the north side of town, pastor of a large church, called me. He said, I need some advice. And then he just wanted to express some of his distress during COVID. He said, just when COVID started, I requested that our Sunday school teachers that teach in the children's department to please wear masks. He said, a week after I did that, three of the best families in my church, who also teach Sunday school in the children's department, came to me and said, we love you, Pastor, but we disagree with the precautions you're making us take around our children. We're going to be leaving. We're going to find another church home. I said, brother, don't take that personally. You and I may never know how many people we actually lose and have lost because of our leadership to try to protect people during COVID. On the day that I wrote this message, I saw the statistics on how many people had died in the United States due to COVID on February 3rd of this year. It was 917,600 people. And worldwide, we've lost 5.7 million plus. Nobody is being held responsible for the virus. We've had supply shortages. We've had economic damage done to the American economy. And we keep looking at schools being open, schools being closed, mask on, mask off, same way with the church. What in the world should a Christian's response be to the COVID crisis? Well, storms come and they dash upon the ship of life. And that's what happened here in Acts chapter 27. If you look at Acts 27 and go back to verse 9 again, it says, much time had been lost and sailing already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them. Why does God put stories like this in the Bible? Does he need a filler? I don't think so. The Bible says that all scripture is given for inspiration of God and profitable for reproof, for instruction, and in righteousness. We're told that crisis took place with God's greatest saints, his greatest missionary, and so they're going to come our way. There's three very important reasons why storms come. Storms come because of the bad choices that we make. All of us have made poor decisions. And then storms come sometimes because Christ allows it in our life, or Christ sends the storm into our life. The third reason we experience crisis is because of the bad choices of other people. If you're too close, whether it's in your family or some friends, and they make some bad decisions and you're close by, sometimes the blame for those are also ascribed to you. We find today that politicians make decisions and they affect us, whether it be good or bad. If you go to the gasoline pump today, you will see a bad decision made by certain politicians as gasoline prices keep going up. When you go to the grocery store, you'll see inflation. You'll see that's caused by some bad decisions by some politicians. And it goes on and on. Well, Paul was not in a storm because of anything that he did. He was being transported as a prisoner to Rome and had stopped off in Crete. It's a bad time to be sailing. Now notice, as we look at this, the causes of the crisis. And you see the first one there in verse 9. Paul admonished them and warned them after they went to Crete. He said, listen, this is a bad time of the year to sail. We need to harbor right here. How many of you were in town for the storm Thursday night? I've got new neighbors. They moved here from Florida and they said, where we moved from, they didn't have tornadoes. Do y'all ever have a tornado in Rome, Georgia? Well, the winds are only 40 miles an hour. I thought about them. During that storm, I said, I bet they're under their staircase. And they just got a new roof 3 weeks ago, and that was a wonderful time to inspect your roof. I have another new neighbor across the street, and he left his trash out, and cardboard stopped up. Just stacked up out of the trash can. And when those winds came out of the west, all that cardboard blew over into our storm sewers. And the water rose this high in front of my house and came up 21 feet into my front yard. That's a storm. They say that was only 3 inches of rain. Not in front of my house. It's more like 2 or 3 feet. It almost got my morning paper out of the paper box. But notice here, Paul says, this is just not a good time to sail in verse 11. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, he decided to consult the owner of the ship. And the owner of the ship said, listen, I think it's going to be fine for us to sail. Paul said, listen, I'm a man of God. I got a word from God. It is not safe to sail. You can go to the doctors. You can go to all the experts of the world. And you look for peace. And you can find yourself in a storm. Because the only one who really knows what's best for our life is God. The people didn't listen to the man of God. Second cause of this storm here, the problem, look at verse 12. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. This sounds like a Baptist meeting. Paul is a man of God. He says, listen, I've got it straight from God. I've got peace about it. We don't need to sail. We're going to run into a storm. They had a business meeting. They voted 270 to sail, and Paul and two others, 270-3, not to sail. And guess what happened? The majority is not always right. We go to Kadesh Barnea. We go back there, and we see where 12 spies were sent out to assess the promised land. And when they came back, 10 out of the 12 said, there's a bunch of giants over there. We like grasshoppers among them. we don't need to go into the promised land. Listen, God didn't say go over there and strategize how you're going to whip the Philistines and everybody else. That's not what he told them to do. He said, just go over there and look at it and assess it. And he said, you shall what? Take the promised land. But you had 10 Baptists who came back and they voted no. And Joshua and Caleb said, we need to go. And what happened? Since they disobeyed God and did not move forward, they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and over 2 million Jews died because of their disobedience. Third reason for this little storm right here in verse 13. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. It was precipitated because they relied on the circumstances they could see. The harbor there was in, it was a good day to go fishing. You could see your cork go up and down. You could tell if you had a bite because the seas were smooth. It looked great. The circumstances are favorable as far as we can see. But in verse 14, before very long, a wind of hurricane force, called a northeaster, swept down from the island. We get into trouble when we listen to the wrong experts. We follow majority opinion and go with the crowd. We've been in position like that in America. Politicians with COVID had been trying to practice medicine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I want a politician to work on me physically, I'll go see a county commissioner or a city commissioner. But if I have something physically wrong, I am going to a medical doctor. Politicians have used the COVID virus to try to control our behavior, try to tell you, you got to take the shot, you don't have to take the shot. If you don't take the shot, you lose your job. You got to wear a mask, you can't wear a mask. You got to be closed. Close your churches, close your schools. People have tried to take our freedoms. Now, let me tell you what's really happened. What we have going on here actually is spiritual warfare. Do you recognize that? We've got spiritual warfare. And Satan has been using government officials and certain liberal groups in our nation. And he's been using members of our churches to cause division in our nation and division in our churches. Let's just call it what it is. That leads to a second observation, the confusion and the crisis. You know, a crisis gets accelerated when a whole lot of people do the wrong thing. The first thing they did in the storm is they took off, and that caused them to drift. Look at verse 15. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. Here's what he says. Hurricane winds, the rudder don't work. The sails are being torn to pieces by this wind. We want to go in this direction, but instead, the wind just drove it where it wanted us to go. They're drifting. Christians by the hundreds of thousands in America since COVID had started to drift. This is a season when we ought to be called to prayer in all of our churches, praying for a cure to COVID. We got the shots. We got those quickly. It's a time when this nation ought to be on our knees asking God to send us an evangelistic revival. Instead, Christians have dropped out of church and begun to drift. The other thing I see is Christians have started discarding. Notice here it says in verse 18, we took such a violent battering from the storm. The next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. They threw the cargo overboard two or three more days. Later they threw the tackle overboard. And here's another thing. They threw their food overboard. And then notice what else happened. The ship's so bad, they threw themselves overboard. They jumped into sea with a hurricane force wind. If you couldn't swim, those little swimmies you put on your arm wouldn't do you any good. Now watch this carefully. You say, well, They had no compass. They had no direction. We get in a time like this in America and we say, well, I guess there's no sense in serving God. Then other people say, well, this COVID thing is just a hoax, Pastor. You should never close a service down. Pastor, we shouldn't be wearing masks. That just inhibits our worship. One thing we start doing when we get in a crisis like this is we start throwing away things that we learn as a child in Sunday school about the Word of God. We also decide we're just quit coming to church. I mean, we've been closed a few times, so let's just quit coming to church. And let me tell you a sweet little secret right here. There's some people that don't need to be coming because they have pre-existing conditions and they need to make wise choices. But other people have decided that we're just going to watch online. And that's, okay, you want to do that? What are you going to do with forsake not the gathering of the saints together? We have trouble getting people to drive carts out here to bring people in, the golf carts, ushers, sight and sound. There's some Sundays, I know you love this, there's some Sundays if you see me walk to the side of the pulpit and I slide my right hip or my left hip along, that means we only have one cameraman. And if I move this way too far, I'm off camera. And I'm off camera on the dark side too. We just don't have enough volunteers. Not enough volunteers to keep nursery. And part of the reason is so many people have decided the Lord has commanded us to just watch online in our pajamas. Guess what? Nationwide, we have meters back here that tell you all week how many people actually watch online. And for the last 6 months nationwide, that number has dwindled down. And what that really means is a lot of people who tell you they're watching online are lying. And I don't care if they lie to me. They got to answer to God. Then other people decide, you know, since we're not going, we're just not going to tithe. Well, you can deal with Malachi and deal with God and let me know if he gave you an exclusionary clause there. And here's the other thing. Satan has sold convenience to Christian people. If the weather's good and the hospitalizations due to COVID are down, we might go Sunday. We just might. And the other thing that we've done, do you know nationwide, our Southern Baptist churches, baptisms are down to zero. People joining churches down to zero. You know why that is? Because when COVID hit, we decided there's no way we can share Christ with lost people. You realize when COVID hit, people were dying and going to hell at the most rapid pace in the history of America. International Mission Board says worldwide 155,000 lost people die and go to hell every single day. And we decided since we've got COVID, we just might as well put that on hold. And notice what else, there's despair. Verse 20, but not only did they drift, not only did they discard, but verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and storm continued raging, we just gave up any hope of ever being saved. Can you imagine a life without the moon? The moon was full this past week, absolutely gorgeous. Can you imagine days without any sun? Look, they didn't have a compass. Now they don't have the sun, they don't have the moon, they don't have the stars. So now they're just in total despair. Pastor called me the other day and he said, Pastor, I got to ask you a question. He said, what is it going to take to restore our churches to pre-pandemic numbers? I said, nobody has the secret sauce. And I said, you and I may not live long enough to see that ever happen again. We're in despair. Many of you have had COVID. Some of you have lost parents and grandparents to COVID. How many times have I seen in the paper where Ms. Smith died the day of COVID, and 2 days later, Mr. Smith dies of COVID. I was at a funeral home the other day. They said since January 1st of this year to the first part of February, they have buried more people with COVID deaths in 2022 in that time period than they did in 2021. People in despair. You talk to people in the medical profession. They're short of doctors and short of nurses. In the ER sometimes during this pandemic locally, all the examination rooms in the ER are full, and the ER docs and nurses, they're treating patients out in the hall. There's nowhere for them to go. If they need admission, it's up to 48 hours before there is a room available for them to put them in. The country of Colombia has so many people dying. They had a casket shortage. By the way, we have a casket shortage in America now. Used to, you could go into the showroom at the funeral home and all the models were there. Now many of the models are missing because they can't get caskets. Here's what they did in Colombia. They made hospital beds out of cardboard. And they put a steel frame down the side and it'll hold a patient that weighs up to 330 pounds. But if you die, they just sort of lower you down into that cardboard and fold over the top and take you and bury you in the ground. Total cost of that bed, $85. Some of you are interested in that in lieu of cremation because that'd be cheaper. But that's where we are as a nation, supply chains interrupted. And look at what Paul is doing. The Bible teaches here that Paul had been in, all this is going on. He's in prayer seeking God while they're drifting, while they're discarding, while they're in despair. Paul stands on the deck of the ship and says, "Be of good cheer." Can you imagine that? They've dumped everything. Hurricane winds coming in. Paul says, "Be of good cheer. My God sent an angel to stand next to me." And the angel said, "We will all make it to shore. There will not be one loss of life." And the sailor says, "He's an idiot. Seasickness has gotten to his brain. We don't believe a word that he's got to say." I want to tell you the test of your Christianity is what you will do when a crisis comes. Anybody can serve God when the bank account's full. When everybody's well, the economy's going great, and there's no persecution around you, anybody can be faithful to Christ. The test of our character comes out in a crisis. But listen to me, character is not made in a crisis. Character is revealed in a crisis. Character is developed when you walk with God every day in prayer. You get instructions every day out of His Word. You're in fellowship with a local fellowship of born-again, baptized believers involved in ministry. You're listening to God. You're walking with God. You're living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered life. That's when your character will show when a crisis comes. Now, notice the cure for the crisis quickly. Verse 29. "We are fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks. They dropped 4 anchors from the stern and they prayed for daylight." Notice here the requirements that resolve a crisis. Notice down in verse 21, it says they dropped 4 anchors. I want you to write this down, not in your outline. Here's the first anchor you need to drop. That is the presence of God. Verse 22, "But now I urge you to keep up courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed." Over in Acts, Pentecost, what did Christ do? He sent the Holy Spirit. And we're saved, the Holy Spirit, simultaneous with conversion, takes up presence within us. And there's Paul, he says, listen. He said, "God sent me a messenger." Not only did it send an angel, but I want you to notice this a little bit further. That other messenger that he's talking about is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. You as a Christian can't go anywhere and do anything and hide from the face of God, because the Holy Spirit has taken up residence with you. And you remember, he's our great comforter. He'll never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. So the presence of God is what you need as an anchor when a storm comes. Second anchor there, I want you to write down this, the purpose of God. Look at verse 24. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. The plan of God for Paul is he's going before Caesar. God wants the ruler of the most powerful nation in the world back in biblical times to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ from his chief missionary, Paul, even though after Paul gets to Rome, he's going to be beheaded. But before that, God is getting the message of Jesus to Caesar through the Apostle Paul. That is God's plan for Paul. Here's what I believe with all my heart and all my soul. Our days are numbered by the Lord. But when God has a purpose for you, you and I are invincible until God completes that purpose through us, if we're submissive to him. Romans 8, 38 and 40 says, "For I'm convinced that neither death," listen to this, "nor life, angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, or anything else, in all creation be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No force outside, no force above, no force below, no force around you will be able to destroy you until God's purpose is fulfilled through you on this earth." There's a lot of things I just can't explain to you through this COVID event as it relates to the church. Anytime you're in a leadership position, there are going to be people who encourage you. There are other people who will abandon you and criticize you, and you just have to accept that as part of the gig. I can't explain the finances in this church for the last 2.5 years. The last 2 years, you've broken all the records in the 170-something year history of this church for annual giving. I can just explain it by saying it's God, it's a God thing, and you've been obedient. Even record amounts of debt have been retired. And what I've done is said, thank you, thank you, thank you. I haven't promoted debt retirement with you, but one time, and that was after you'd already given $400,000 or $500,000 in an 18-month period unsolicited. But you know what that does tell me? Though attendance may be lower than usual, decisions may be down, God has not finished his plan and his purpose for Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. The money's there to fund the ministries. Verse 25, keep up your courage, men. I have faith. Faith in God that it'll happen just as he told me. I believe God. Write this down. Claim the promises of God. God said in his word, your days are so shall your strength be. And God said in his word, come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and God will anchor you in the midst of a storm. A lady called me one day, her husband had had brain surgery. She said, I just want to give you an update. She said, I want you to know when I pray scripture. And I prayed the promises of God over my husband. What a great idea. She said, in the crisis brain surgery, we're gonna just claim the promises of God here. Now, in the midst of all this, we need to take precautions. A lot of you think I'm a germophobic. I was using hand sanitizer before you even knew it existed. I remember training Chris Giddens, our former children's minister, back in the 90s when he finished Georgia Tech. He came on as a youth and children's minister. I said, now I'm going to teach you how to visit and minister people in hospitals. And he said, why after you leave a hospital room do you use hand sanitizer or wash your hands? I said, you only have to get one case of pneumonia or the stomach virus after visiting a church member and you'll figure it out, Georgia Tech grad. And so I've been using hand sanitizer so long I don't have fingerprints. I'm going to take precautions. I use my N95 mask. I had to go in and see somebody in the hospital the other day. It's critical. I've got on an N95 mask. That's just a choice I make. I may have a heart attack, drop dead. I may have a stroke and drop dead. A lady may run over me with an SUV and kill me. But I know where I'm going when I die. I'm claiming the promise. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Fourth anchor I want you to write down there is real simple. It says, when daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Verse 44, the rest were to get there on planks and on other pieces of the ship. In this way, how many people? Everyone reached the land safely. You know, when I think back of this, I think about when my daddy made me go to Red Cross swimming when I was little. And it took me 3 years. 3 years. To get my beginner swimming certificate. Finally, what they would do, they would put me in the pool and they'd have one of those little floaty boards you put out in front of you. And you didn't put your head under, but you kicked. It was a kickboard. And that's the way I see these guys. Man, some of these guys couldn't swim, especially in a hurricane wind. So they got planks and they used them as a kickboard. And it says, isn't that amazing? Every one of them came safe to land. Third year, Daddy said, if you don't get your certificate this year, you will be driving down there with those first, second, and third graders till you get your certificate for beginner swimming. These old boys got their certificate that day, beginner swimming. You know what their award was? Their lives were saved. How were their lives saved? It was saved by the power of God. Never give up, never give in, Christian, because the power of God lives within each one of us. You realize God can't eliminate COVID. Might not even take breath from his mouth. He could eliminate COVID. He can cure your depression. He can take us home. That's not a bad deal. No more sorrow, no more sickness, no more crying. No more pain. For some reason, he allowed the pandemic. It tries our faith, our patience, our prayer life. It allows us to be put through the fire. But we need to focus on him and his word. And then all things are possible with God. But you know what we'd rather do as Christians? We'd rather worry. We'd rather be mad. We'd rather argue with each other, shot or no shot, mask or no mask. The pastor's making the right decision or the wrong decision and trying to protect our health. This is just Satan working in his church, in God's church. When all the time we American Christians ought to be leading the way on our knees. Instead, we get lazy, wring our hands in disgust and despair. We've missed a great opportunity. Remember when we had all the shutdowns? And I'm not saying whether they were right or wrong, okay? We had all the shutdowns. Seismologists need something to do. So some got together and measured the vibration of the earth. when most of the people are shut down in their houses. This is true. We were on shutdown worldwide. They said the vibration caused by human beings on this earth was reduced 33%. That's true. That's not made up. And here's where we missed it. Here's where we missed it. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Instead of enjoying the stillness and keeping our minds and our thoughts based on Christ and focused on Him, we decide to be disgusted, argumentative, discard commitment, live in despair. Be still and know that I am God, so that all nations will exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's how to keep sane in a COVID crazy world. Will you stand right where you are? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you, Lord, for all those who have come today. We're not here by accident. We're here by divine appointment. And Lord, we need an evangelistic, evangelical revival, not only in America, but in the whole world. And it needs to start with us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear. Instead, we as Christians argue over why we got a shot and didn't get a shot. Over a politician saying, stay home or stay open. We argue over what age groups can get the shot. We argue over the age groups that shouldn't take the shot. We go back and forth. And all this time, Satan's got our eyes off the ball. We need to be focused on you and your solution. And be open to the opportunities you're giving us to minister to so many people that are hurting across our nation and around the world. All you have to do is just stand by one graveside of one person whose life COVID took. And that puts things in perspective. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I want you to know that He lived a perfect life. Died on the cross, shed His blood willingly to pay the price for your salvation and mine, and rose the third day from that grave. And He said, whosoever calls on my name shall be saved. If you're not sure how to make that decision, I'm going to invite you to come in just a moment. We'd be glad to share with you. Some of you have already been saved, need to be a candidate for baptism, like these two that were in the pool today. Some of you have been looking for a church home. It's time to get back into the army of the Lord and invest your spiritual gifts in ministry. We've got work to do. Jesus is coming. We're to live on ready. He has so many opportunities out here with so many people that are in despair to share the good news. And you know what is even better news? He says that if you trust me as Savior and Lord, you'll spend eternity in heaven with me. So, Lord, this is the most important time of this service. As you, with your word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, deal with the hearts and lives of people here and in the Family Life Center, pray you'll be honored by public and private decisions that are made. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, Warren and I are going to be standing here at the front today. If you need to make a decision, you want to talk to us about accepting Christ, we invite you to come. If you're uncomfortable doing that, come see us after the service at the Welcome Center desk. We'll be glad to meet with you. We'll take you to one of our offices. We'll share Christ with you. You have a prayer need, you come. Same thing over in the Family Life Center. Dan and Richard are coming forward over there. Praise band's coming forward. If you're uncomfortable coming forward, go to the Connect desk right after the service. Dan or Richard will meet with you there. If you're watching us online, call 706-234-1841. Leave a message, and a staff member will get back with you just as soon as possible. So Clay's coming to lead us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.